People are always saying the sky is falling on the world of books. No less an authority than the National Endowment for the Arts recently joined the chorus. It published a report warning that literary reading was about to go extinct. But cultural critic Kevin Smokler said, not so fast. He put together a book of essays called Bookmark Now, Writing in Unreaderly Times. And as far as that report goes, well, as Smokler told Steve Paulson, frankly, he's just not impressed.
I take that report with a very large grain of salt. Creative nonfiction doesn't seem to count in the definition of what counts as literary reading. Slouching Towards Bethlehem does not count. John McPhee's Levels of the Game doesn't count. Your average grocery store glossy covered novel does. Not passing judgment, that doesn't seem to catch everything into the net of literature. Also, graphic novels don't count either. And we all know that there has been an explosion of interest in graphic novels, both here and abroad, in the last 5 to 6 years. Setting aside that trend, I'm not comfortable with a report that says that literary reading is on the way down, but, oh, by the way, Art Spiegelman's Mouse doesn't count as literary reading. Daniel Steele does, but Art Spiegelman's Mouse does not.
Now, is the argument that sales of fiction books are down, or that studies have shown that people just spend less time every month reading fiction?
Yeah, the report indicates that for the first time, the number of people who say they do not read for pleasure has crossed over the 50% threshold. And the report, although it doesn't say it directly, hints very strongly that we have the large panoply of electronic media to blame. We have the internet, we have video games, we have any number of pixelated digital distractions you can think of that keep us from reading.
But there is some truth to that, isn't there? I mean, if people are spending a lot of time playing computer games or watching movies or just surfing around on the internet, isn't that time that they might otherwise be reading books?
Of course, yeah, certainly. But it has an air of cultural superiority and imperialism to it, and it has a profound lack of understanding about how frequently these kind of complaints come up. I look at that and I close my eyes and I say, you know what? This is exactly what people said to my parents about rock and roll music. This is exactly what they said to my grandparents about jazz music and motion pictures, and so on and so forth, back to the time of Homer or the Gutenberg Bible. I promise you, when the Gutenberg Bible came out, people said, this is the end of the grand tradition of oral storytelling as we know it. Why should we ever gather around the campfire again if we can read books in the privacy of our own homes? What will that do to public culture? What will that do to our society? You can wave your hands until you're blue in the face at that kind of thing. A, I don't think it correctly identifies the problem. And B, if it does, it proposes absolutely no solution. It doesn't say if, in fact, this is a problem, how we can do better. All it does is shake its finger.
Now, the internet is an interesting conversational point in this whole discussion, because it's obviously all about texts. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose you could make the argument that if a lot of people are spending time on the internet, it is in some ways boosting our literary culture.
I happen to agree with that. What they are reading varies, of course. The internet is wide and deep, but that is how we interact with what is online. The internet is a reading and writing medium. We used to pick up the phone to communicate with one another. Now, we write letters. They happen to be on screens and inputted with keyboards, but they are letters.
But a lot of people are going to say, if you care about literary culture, the stuff on the internet, 99% of it just doesn't measure up.
Sure. And 99% of the books that are published in this country don't measure up either. There's dross everywhere. There will always be things in any medium where we can look at it and we can say, well, we think these parts of it are junk, and then therefore the whole medium is junk. And that's never a fair conclusion. It's not a fair conclusion with film. It's not a fair conclusion with popular music. It's not a fair conclusion with any form of media or culture. 99% of the stuff is probably not of interest to you or me. The 1% is.
What is that 1%? I mean, what do you find most exciting about the internet, specifically in the context of this discussion of our literary culture?
What mostly fascinates me is the way it can connect readers together, the way it increases awareness of books, which is a very old medium, the way readers can form communities with one another across geographic distances.
In other words, if you're a huge fan of, I don't know, Neil Gaiman or Toni Morrison,
right,
and you want to hook up with other fans of those particular writers, you will find other people of the same with the same interests online.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who will in turn plug you into what they are reading? Who will in turn pass you on to other authors? The parallel connections, or what in tech speak is called collaborative filtering on the internet, is a wonderful opportunity to find yourself in literary places you'd never thought you'd be.
Now, there do seem to be more and more literary weblogs that people are putting together, and they sort of gossip about literary news and other people.
Absolutely.
And sort of give their takes on their favorite writers, or if they want to diss someone else, they'll do that. And obviously, they have a following. Otherwise, I presume they wouldn't be out there. But some people kind of dismiss them as well.
Sure. And I think it's funny when people dismiss them, because I say to myself, where else in what other media sphere is literary culture being debated as vigorously than on the internet? I mean, not really on television, to some extent the radio. We barely see people reading books and film. Where people talk day in and day out, 7 days a week, about what is happening in the world of books is on the internet. So I always cite that when people say, oh, the internet is an a-literary or a-literate place. It's where the passionate readers all find one another.
Do you think, to some degree, these blogs are replacing the New York Times Book Review and the other old centers of literary culture?
I don't think they're replacing it entirely, and I don't think they will replace it entirely. I think what they will do is democratize the conversation about literature. It used to be that if you lived in Portland, Oregon, you couldn't really find out what the Boston Globe's book section was saying unless your local library carried it. Now you can. Now you can access it via the internet or via a blog that links to it or any number of means. Once we say there is no longer one expert as to what is worth reading, there are no longer five or six large newspapers, large radio stations, large television stations that say this is what we're supposed to be reading, well, you can find your own personal reading guru out there online. And if you like what they have to say, you can use that as your main source. I'd say to some extent, that person is the clerk at the local independent bookstore for people who don't have local independent bookstores.
Do these blogs, or at least do some of them, get a lot of readers?
The most popular ones get a lot for a blog. They don't get as many readers as the New York Times, obviously, but they do get significant traffic. Traffic enough that has the publishing industry sending them free books, setting up interviews with them, considering them media outlets to be approached like newspapers and television and radio.
Could there or should there be a literary equivalent to iTunes where you could just download, I don't know, chapters from books?
To some degree, it happens already. Audible.com is that. iTunes has got a few of them. I don't think it's been exploited to the extent it could. I would love something like iTunes. I think everybody in this country who commutes for more than 45 minutes to work every day would love something like that.
So you're pretty optimistic. Sort of the state of our literature seems to be pretty strong right now.
Am I optimistic? I would say I'm optimistic. I would say I'm excited. More than optimistic, I would say I'm excited. I feel that times of great flux are where brilliant new ideas come from. Dire predictions result in breathtaking jumps in innovation. And I think that's really exciting to me. It's really exciting to imagine that we are at a crossroads in literary culture in this country, and that we all have a ringside seat to see it. We're going to a place where books are marketed and reach readers in different ways. We're going to a place where there is a more democratic press to talk about books. We're going to a place where not every book needs to be a $28 hardcover from Random House to get a degree of respectability. We're going to a place where books no longer just need to be words on paper between two covers. They can now have CDs and DVDs and illustrations and foldouts in them. We are seeing the book in a more diverse and exciting way, and we are seeing its role and its creator's role in our society in more different, more faceted, more exciting ways than at any time in our, I'm not going to say any time in our history, that seems grand, but at any time in recent memory. And I think that's thrilling.
What about the McSweeney's phenomenon, the stuff that Dave Eggers has spawned? I mean, he's started a couple of magazines, McSweeney's and The Believer. He and his cohorts mm-hmm. put on these events at bookstores or other mm-hmm. venues that seem to turn out hundreds of people. Is this changing our literary culture?
I like to think so. I like to think that McSweeney's is doing two things which I admire. One, in a very simple way, they are saying literature is cool. And it is cool to be a writer's groupie the same way it is cool to be a musician's groupie or an actor's groupie. It is cool to spend a Friday night at a reading or in the company of writers and books, just as it would be to go to a club to hear music. The other thing I think they're doing that I really admire is they are saying, books belong on the same level playing field with other media. So it is possible to package a book with a CD or a DVD. I think for a long time we have considered books this island off the shores of our culture, as opposed to a bustling province on the mainland. And I think the more we see books as part of one's media diet in the 21st century, as opposed to saying I'm a book person, which necessarily means I'm not a television person or a film person or an internet person. I can be an everything person, and books have a seat at that table. The third thing, although I did only say two, but the third thing I think McSweeney's does is it says that literature and books are fun. Mm-hmm. And that is something I think we profoundly lack in this culture.
That comes through in the sensibility of the writing. The writers tend not to spend a whole lot of time writing very negative assessments of other writers. Sort of, why bother, I think, is their attitude. And there's a smart-alecky quality to it. There's a style of writing that almost would not be considered literary in some circles. It would be considered too informal, I think.
Sure. But they said the same thing about Robert Frost. And Ernest Hemingway, you know, I would say traditionalists look at that and say there's an ever-shrinking bar of what is acceptable to be literary and not literary. I look at that and I say we are doing away with the term altogether, and we are instead defining the term by social significance, by impact it has on readers. If that means there isn't an independent critical sensibility, if that means there isn't a Ten Commandments about what is literature and what isn't, I'm fine with that. I'm fine having an agnostic or atheistic attitude towards what literature is.
Should we get rid of the word literature?
No. I'd be sad if we did.
Or get rid of the adjective literary?
No. I can pick out the word literary out of a newspaper or magazine as quickly as I can pick out my own name. And it always gets me interested in what they're talking about. I don't know. I don't think we need to get rid of it. I think we need to understand that it means different things to different people. And it is, in fact, a palace with an open gate as opposed to one with high walls.
Kevin Smokler writes for the San Francisco Chronicle and The Believer. He edited the book of essays called Bookmark Now, Writing in Unreaderly Times. Steve Paulson spoke with him.